This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Tuesday morning to you. Wake Up Call, SportsMap Radio. Find us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. Ron with two N's, please. We have got the top five, bottom five. Emery Hunt is going to join us. NFL analysts will talk about where we're at with 6 weeks left to go in the season, heading to the stretch run. One of the storylines this season has been the incredible run of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are now off to a 10-0 start after they beat Jacksonville. And people are starting to look at their schedule now and saying, can the Steelers go 16-0? They'll play the Ravens on Thursday night. That's a difficult game because, one, it's a rivalry. Two, Baltimore's desperate. But then they've got Washington on the road at a very good Buffalo team. Cincinnati without Joe Burrow. The Colts, who are very good and very good defensively. And Cleveland, which might be in a position at home to need a win of some sort to sort of solidify a playoff berth or move in the playoff rankings or whatever it is that they may be. They're in the conversation for a postseason, so this is not the lay down Cleveland Browns, let's just wrap up the season and go home that we've seen in the past few years. This is a team that may have a lot to play for when they get to the end of the season. And what if the Steelers were 15-0 going into that game? We have the same old debate anytime we get a team like this, which, you know, whether they're 14-0 or 13-0 or whatever. Is once you wrap things up, what do you do? Do you bench starters? Do you give everybody a rest? And if you're Mike Tomlin, that's the choice he would have to make. It's gonna be difficult to get to 15-0 at that point. One, the Steelers aren't a dominating football team. They don't do one thing offensively so well and so unstoppable. And two, they will have to play a Bills team on the road, and they will play the Ravens on Thursday night that has a season not on the line, but man, the Ravens definitely don't want to drop to a position of 6-5. I mean, that's killing yourself in the playoff hunt. If you're the Steelers and you have a chance to go 16-0, though, go for history. Go for history. Even if the team you're playing against, the Cleveland Browns, have a lot to play for, one, don't never give Cleveland an opportunity to beat you to improve their situation in the playoffs. Two, you should take every opportunity because it's so rare to go 16-0. Only one team has done it. Take a chance and go do it, even if it means you're putting some players at risk. Top five, bottom five, coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Kane is in the building.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's time for top five, bottom five. We do the top five first, giving you our thoughts after week 11 in the NFL. We start from five, going all the way to the top. If you want to chime in and give us your thoughts on the top five, you could do so at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Let's start with number five, and I have... And I reluctantly did this because I think there's a lot of teams that could be at five. I thought about Tennessee. I thought about Buffalo, even though they were on a bye week. But I went with a team that did lose over the weekend, and that was Green Bay, an overtime loss to Indianapolis. Aaron Rodgers is still having an MVP season. It's Mike Pettine that's the problem. The defense isn't very good. But they're 7-3. They're still a force to be reckoned with whenever you play them, as the Colts found out. So Green Bay is number five.
There's no shame in that.
Okay.
I took the other team in that game. Number five, I think, making a first-time appearance on my poll is the Colts. Just because I saw the grittiness in them that they, you know, even though they looked out of it, they were able to fight back against a good Packers team and make a difference, make some noise. So I put the Colts at number five just almost as a reward. I don't think they're going to stay there that long, but I put them there as a reward of, you know, hard work and... Listen, I mean, I very easily could be the AFC South champions.
Yeah, and it's funny that you mentioned the Colts because I have them at four on my list. I thought that was a great win. They have won four of their last five games. Their defense is really good. Their defense is really good. And Phillip Rivers is fine. I mean, I don't think he's been the juggernaut exponentially better than what a Jacoby Brissett would do under this scenario that we talked about this last week.
Yeah.
But I think this team that had a bad loss to open the season against Jacksonville, that's looking worse and worse. But this is a league. It's not college football. You don't pay for your sins like that. You can overcome it, and they have. Look, everybody's losing games except Pittsburgh and Kansas City. Everyone's losing games. Indianapolis has now lost its share of games like all the other good teams. They're playing Tennessee this weekend, a team they beat handedly that Thursday night game. They dominated that game. They own the Titans, by the way, and a lot of it was Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning, don't get me wrong. But they're confident enough that they can beat Tennessee and put a little distance themselves from the Titans. And they're a little different than the Titans. I think Tennessee, I could put Tennessee in somewhere in this group, but I went with a team that beat them, and I went with a team that is really impressive. That was a good win against the Packers.
It was. Now, for me at number four, I still have the Packers.
Okay. So just flipping those two.
Listen, you know what? I mean, it was a good win by the Colts. I mean, they fought back. They fought hard. And that defense is something to be reckoned with. And I think that defense we're going to see really shine as we get later on in the season and heading into the postseason. That's what's going to be exciting. But still, the Packers are the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, I think, with really his back against the line, I almost felt like he looked at it like, oh, if we lose this game, we lose this game. You know, we'll save it for another day. The Packers, to me, are still, almost dare I say, like, you know, the team to beat in the NFC.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's just that good. And when he has all his weapons and everyone is healthy, this team's really going to give every other team a hard time.
All right, number three on my list, the New Orleans Saints at 8-2. Without Drew Brees, Taysom Hill responded. Defense held the Falcons to 3 field goals. I know it's the Falcons, but nevertheless, Taysom Hill did fine. I mean, it was a choice Sean Payton had to make. Good for him. Did not go with Jameis Winston. They have now won 7 in a row. They are the number one seed right now in the NFC. Look, I know the Brees absence could affect them. But when I look at the schedule, I go, not anytime soon. Road games at Denver, Atlanta, and Philadelphia. So not in the next couple of weeks are we going to see the hurt of the Saints offense without Breeze. So the Saints, when it's winning 7 straight at 8-2, are number 3.
Nah, that's where I have the Saints as well. And they just keep marching on. They're my number 3 team, and there's a reason for it. Like, you lose your Hall of Fame quarterback. You plug in a guy that everyone was up in arms about. Even a tweet came out like, oh, you're going to start that guy over us, you know, from Roddy White? Yeah, just give the Falcons a win right now.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's right.
And all the Saints did was just go out there and prove, like, no, we can win with this guy.
Yep.
You know, and possibly, could they win with Jameis Winston? I guess that's what we're going to have to find out.
We'll have to find out.
At some point down the road is, if Jameis Winston had a bevy of weapons, as he never really had with the Buccaneers. Well, he had good wide receivers, but he didn't really know what to do with them. But if he has everything working for him, Jameis Winston could actually be leading this team into the postseason. And then we'll probably see like a Peyton Manning situation happen where, you know, get into the postseason by the backs of your backup quarterbacks, and then Drew Brees takes over to win the Super Bowl.
Right, right. Number two, Kansas City at 9-1. I know.
I didn't know which way you were going to go, but you know, because you've been known to punish your team.
I have, but not this week. Kansas City at 9-1, another win, another check mark for Patrick Mahomes, another come from behind, yep. Just completely expected. Everyone knew it was happening, and he still delivered it. It's this phenomenon that occurs when you know a quarterback is just too dangerous, too good, and will produce. Patrick Mahomes did that on the final drive for the Kansas City Chiefs. There's a little bit of flaws defensively, I guess, but not that I would scream and holler about. They're still only giving up 21 points per game. It's still pretty decent. They've won 5 straight at 9-1. I could flip these two teams. I just keep Kansas City at 2.
No, the fact of the matter is, I mean, the Raiders are a pesky team. They have been all season long, and the Raiders are probably on their way to making the playoffs. But the Chiefs are the Chiefs, and yeah, I mean, I have the Chiefs at number 2 as well. But if we take that one game scenario, which will hopefully be the AFC Championship game, I think I would side more on Patrick Mahomes than Ben Roethlisberger.
That's right, and that's a great point. That's a great point.
But
because
as of right now in the regular season, my justification, because I had the Steelers at one, no losses versus one loss.
That's right. Me too. Same thing. That's funny that you bring that up, because that's the thing that I'm going back and forth with this Pittsburgh team. If you forced me to choose, if you said, I'm from the future, one of these two teams is not in the AFC title game, I'm picking Pittsburgh.
Okay.
I'm going to guess Pittsburgh. If you said, I guarantee you, there's an AFC title game, I've seen the future, one of these two teams is not in it. One of these two teams stumbled on their way to that game. I would pick Pittsburgh. They have a tendency of doing this, where they've had really good teams, and in the postseason, something occurs where you go, my God, what has happened? Why are we doing this? Let's get back to the drawing board and figure it out. As a fan, I've lived with it. A lot of it has to do, now don't get me wrong, a lot of it had to do with New England. No matter how, New England sometimes would be like, well, they had a hiccup late in the season, I don't know, I mean, And then Patriots would demolish Pittsburgh in the playoffs. But a Jacksonville team snuck up on them a couple of years ago and beat them handedly at Heinz Field. I don't see that sort of situation with Kansas City. Even last year, when they trailed in all of those playoff games, and even the Super Bowl by double digits, and then flipped the switch and won by double digits. I don't feel as confident about that with Pittsburgh as I do Kansas City. But you're right. Today, right now, after 11 weeks, the 10-0 team is beating the 9-1 team in my rankings.
Right. Yeah. Because, I mean, the Steelers went out and they did what they were supposed to do. I mean, I know you were worried, you know, taking on the Jaguars, that, oh, this would be the game that they would lose.
Yeah.
And they didn't. They no. didn't. You know, they went out there and they did what they were supposed to do.
I have now figured out that this Steelers team is probably, as I've said it many times, they play down to the level of competition. But right now, I feel like if they're going to lose, it would be on the road against Buffalo, or it would be against the Colts at home. Like, it's going to be against a good team that takes it to them, or Baltimore Thursday night.
Or fortune smiles upon them, and they, you know, all the reports coming out of Baltimore where COVID's running through them, they're without their top two running backs for this season.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, fortune smiling on the Steelers, like, well, hey. You know, their running game is non-existent, except for Lamar Jackson. Well, sure, well, let's just let Lamar run, but other than that, we're good.
Yeah, we'll keep everything together, right. Yeah, they're not losing to Washington, and they're not losing to Cincinnati. Yeah. They're not going to lose those games. Look, at the beginning of the season, you could have convinced me maybe Joe Burrow has one of those games where not anymore. No,
well,
no, this team is too
anymore.
This team is focused. They're good. They get the job done, but they could stumble at Buffalo. Buffalo's a very good team, and that's a very good team.
And it's
they
on
could
the road,
stumble.
Right?
Yeah, it's on the road.
Yeah, that's always, it's always tough to play.
And they
Buffalo
could lose at home. They
season.
Could lose at home a couple of days after Christmas to Indianapolis.
True.
They could fall there too. But that's at least right now. Pittsburgh is
week
is
11, heading to Thanksgiving. That's where we're at.
Exactly. All right, bottom five when we return. It is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Again, a reminder, The Athletic delivers every sport that matters, and Athletic has a full-time local writers that are dedicated to your team, providing breaking news, in-depth analysis, and exclusive stories that you can't find anywhere else, plus national names like Robert Mays and Stuart Mandel, Ken Rosenthal, Lindsey Jones, David Aldridge, you know them. Plus, they've got league-level perspectives and insights that's unrivaled. Again, local writers, it's all ad-free and personalized. Pick your favorite teams. It'll come up right as soon as you log in. The Athletic's got a great deal for you. Subscribe for $1 a week, theathletic.com/radioweek. Once again, that's theathletic.com/radioweek. Worst of the worst of the NFL coming up next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could be with us. It's almost time for Bottom 5, where we tell you who's the worst of the worst after 11 weeks in the NFL. Before we get to that, need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Stop by, talk to one of the professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Here are the worst of the worst of the NFL. We start from 28, moving all the way up to number 32. 28. You can do this by record. You can just find the teams that have the worst record and then
put them together any way you want. But you can also go with trends. You can also say, man, this team is disappointing, or man, this team's been embarrassing, or whatever it may be. And that's where I'm going with 28. They don't have the worst record of the group that I'm talking about. They're not in that category. They actually have 4 victories, same as Minnesota. This is where I put the Detroit Lions. It's hard to be shut out in the NFL. It should be impossible to be shut out in the NFL. You should at least get one through the uprights at some point. And yet they were shut out by the Panthers. They weren't shut out by the Steelers or the Kansas City Chiefs or somebody like that. They were shut out by the Panthers. They lost 20-0. They've lost 3 of their last 4. They don't look like the 3-3 team I actually praised them for back a couple of weeks ago. They play on Thanksgiving against Houston, and they stink. They're 28. Happy Thanksgiving. Lions are in my bottom 5.
Not only that, not only were they shut out by the Panthers, but they were shut out by P.J. Walker.
That P.J. Walker, that's
XFL,
right. That's right.
MVP, P.J. Walker.
Like, let's say you didn't know, and it was like Cam Newton in the Carolina Panthers from like a year ago, right? Or 2 years ago. You would have been like, all right, I can understand that. The Luke Kuechly Panthers, right? No. No, this is the Panthers. It's rebuilding, restructuring. And they shut out Detroit. So because in honor of Thanksgiving, this is what you get with your turkey. So enjoy, America, the 28 team on my list.
Yeah, you can see them Thursday morning.
That's right, Thursday morning.
For my bottom 5, I'm deciding to have a little fun today.
Uh-huh.
So for number 28 for me, and let's see if you can pick up on the trend here in a second. But number 28, I have the New York Football Giants.
New York Football Giants.
Yeah, it's just a bad team. I mean, they're the best out of the 4 teams in the NFC East, I think.
That is true. They're my favorite to win the division.
Even though they are sitting in 2nd place currently, I do believe that this team is going to come out on top. But there's just nothing. There's nothing redeeming about this team. And you've got to feel bad for New York. All the New York teams, I mean, they just are terrible football teams this year.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing for New York to really be thankful for if you catch our drift.
Yeah. I mean, look, sometimes an injury just derails your season and you go, we didn't, that was unexpected. Saquon Barkley being hurt they still would have sucked. They still are a bad team. Like, they may not be 3-7 bad, but they're still not very good.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for number 29, I went with the team that's leading the division, Philadelphia. Philadelphia reminds me of an overweight guy you see in the movies that's hanging on to the flying helicopter. You know eventually he's going to fall. He doesn't have the upper body strength to hold on to that helicopter as it's flying away. Arnold Schwarzenegger, yeah. James Bond, yeah. But James Bond's fat sidekick spy, no, he's going to fall. I just get the feeling the Eagles are just ready to just fall apart. They have got Seattle, Green Bay, New Orleans, Arizona, their next 4 games. They're dead. Dead. They're falling off that helicopter. Here's the thing. They're a mess. They're a complete mess. I know Eitan talks about it all the time, so I'm not going to reiterate a lot of his points, but they're a disaster. I can't believe that in the crappiest division, and I'm just going to tease this, the only team I have from the crappiest division in the NFC East in my bottom 5 is the leader of the division in Philadelphia. Eagles, happy Thanksgiving. You're now 28.
Don't worry. I'll say this. I got your back.
All right.
Okay. Number 29 for me, Washington.
Washington. Okay.
Because I feel that they are the 2nd best team in the worst division of football.
Now, can I just say this? If Alex Smith leads the Washington football team, I almost said the R word. If they get to the playoffs with Alex Smith, I don't care what the record is, and I don't care how bad the other teams are, and who cares? If they win the division with Alex Smith, a parade in downtown D.C., I don't care.
I mean,
throw him one. My God.
They beat the Bengals. But it was a Joe Burrow-less Bengals.
That's right.
And the Bengals, they're a team still trying to figure out their identity. I think the Bengals might have overachieved a little bit this year. But, the fact that the Washington football team won this weekend, hey, good on you for winning, finding a way to win this game.
Finding a way to win.
You did not look pretty during it at all.
That's right.
It was not a clean game, and you benefited from the fact that Joe Burrow was knocked out of the game and done for the season. Possibly done. Reports are now he's not going to come back for 12 months.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's how bad of a leg injury it was that he is done, and we won't see him until, you know, possibly December of next year.
God, that's awful.
But Washington, you did get a win, so that's why you're up a little bit on this list. I still feel that the Giants would beat you to win this division, but you're number 29.
All right. 30 on my list. This is where I put the Bengals, and this is a punishment label. I never really put since I can't. I mean, I may have thrown them in a few times, but I always kind of gave them the benefit of the doubt, right? A rookie quarterback, and even though their record was terrible, they were in close games, and it was more fun to pick on other teams that had deficiencies than a team that is led by a first round number one overall pick that's playing well, but the team overall around him is struggling. But this is where I put them in high. This was inevitable with Joe Burrow. This kid was getting absolutely hammered all season long by an offensive line that was an embarrassment to the organization. This is a lesson for everybody. You've got to protect your future quarterbacks. You cannot do this. This is so bad for the organization to lose this kid to this injury. Now, we all go down the cliched road of, he'll be back and he'll be back stronger than ever. You don't know that. And I don't know that. This could be an injury he overcomes and becomes the star we know him to be. This could be the injury where he's never the same again. I don't know. But I do know this. The Cincinnati Bengals did him no favors giving him that crappy offensive line to work around. As I said yesterday, there was a guy on Kansas that is on the offensive line. Boo! Cincinnati, you owe this kid better. You're a terrible organization. You're number 30 on my list. My feel-good emotions for your season are done. You're over. You're one of the worst.
Yep. There's nothing wrong with that. Number 30 on my list, keeping with my NFC East trend, is the Cowboys.
Right. Cowboys.
Yeah, that's right. So you can kind of guess what's coming up next.
You're not ticking them up because Andy Dalton is back and he looked decent. And we went through the Ben DiNucci phase.
Here's the reasoning why, okay? That offense still isn't really firing on all cylinders like we think it should. I mean, even under Andy Dalton, it should be doing a lot better than it actually is.
All right.
And this is how I preface it. I would not bet any money on the Cowboys winning against Washington on Thursday.
Oh, I don't doubt it. Yeah.
And that's the issue. This is a situation right now where Andy Dalton's got to be way better than Alex Smith. And that Cowboys offense has got to be way better than the Washington football team's offense.
Yeah.
But I don't know that because this Dallas team that shows up week in, week out is different every single time.
Yeah, that's true.
So you don't know what team you're getting. Sometimes you get the good offense. Sometimes you get the good defense. Most of the time, you get bad on both sides of the ball. And Andy Dalton, I swear, I mean, he's just one like little head thump away, and he'll be knocked out of the game. And then who do you go back to? Do you go back to Gilbert? Do you go back to DiNucci? Yeah.
Ben DiNucci.
Whose uncles, we found out earlier, were probably arrested in Philadelphia just recently.
Yeah. DiNucci sounds like a pizza place I used to go to in New Jersey.
It probably was.
Let's go to DiNucci's. Get a large pie.
But, I mean, I'm just not sold on this Cowboys team, and that's why I had to put him at 30. They just don't leave that, and they're not gonna win. They're gonna, at best, by the time they meet the Eagles after Christmas, they're gonna probably split the games. At best, they'll be 2-2 in the next four games.
All right, 31 on my list. This is where I put Jacksonville. This team is just terrible. They're just awful. And Jake Luton, God bless him, he's trying. The kid from Oregon State, but they just announced that Josh Allen is done. He's on the IR. He suffered an injury Sunday. He's finished. Who can play for this team? They've lost nine straight since their opening week win. They've been disappointing in the sense that, hey, Gardner Minshew was supposed to... Nah, now we got this kid from Oregon State running the offense.
Gardner's
not even coming back. This team is 1-9. They've lost nine straight. 31 on my list.
No, what the Jaguars are hoping for right now is for the Jets to falter. 31 for me.
That's right.
This is where I had the Eagles for all the same reasoning you did.
Okay, you put them way higher than me.
They are not going to win another game this season.
No, they're terrible.
They might, and they could, you know, give Dallas a good run after Christmas, and then they have one more game against Washington. But by that time, Peterson will be gone and Carson Wentz will be gone.
Yep. Jets 0-10 or 32.
Duh.
So there you go. But we should just call it the bottom four.
Yeah, we should.
Yo. You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go out to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Emory Hunt joins us. Footballgameplan.com also does some stuff with CBS Sports, and you can find him on Twitter at FBallGamePlan. That's FBallGamePlan. How are you, Emory?
I'm doing fine, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Always, always love it. Last night, the Buccaneers lose. Let's, before we get to the Rams side of things, what did last night say about the Buccaneers as a team at 7-4? Is it things we didn't know or things we always suspected of them as we go into Week 11?
You know, I think when you look at the Bucs defensively, we saw how very good they are versus the run. We saw them compete in the passing game, although the Rams tend to do that to people, make you not look like you know what you're doing in coverage. But offensively, despite having the talented pieces on the perimeter, they just wasn't able to connect consistently last night. And they moved the ball well. They had their opportunities to win that game. And I just thought that the Rams just were a better team. So I still believe the Bucs are a very good football team. We know talent at the end of the day can help you get to the playoffs. Now, continuity and consistency helps you get through the playoffs. They're banged up right now up front. So you think that they'll get better in that regard, get healthier. So they'll be fine. But just last night, the Rams were a better team.
Now let's get to the Rams. Look, they don't have a front runner for the MVP like Russell Wilson in Seattle. They're not this young, dynamic coach quarterback combination like Arizona, this kind of feel-good story. But are they the best team in the division?
You know, that's a good question. I would venture out to say yeah, because you know, they've played probably as consistent as you can play throughout the year. And we know their offense is efficient, is dynamic in how it approaches the game. And defensively, they've gotten better every game, especially within the second level where I had like the biggest questions about the Rams coming into the season. But right now, they are playing the most consistent of the teams in the NFC West. So, yeah, I would have to say the Rams are the best team in that division.
All right, let's go to the AFC with Pittsburgh is 10-0 and rolling along and got a game Thursday night against a struggling Baltimore team. Emory, when you evaluate the Steelers, where is a weakness? Where is something that would say to somebody, you know what, this team's good, but they're not going to go to the Super Bowl. There's something that's going to catch up with them somewhere in the playoffs.
You wonder about their run game being consistent, being dynamic, and you also wonder there's bouts within the game offensively where they just look ineffective, where the pass is not connecting, the run game isn't as dominant as it should be, and they let teams tend to hang around. We saw this in the Tennessee game. We saw this in the Baltimore game. It wasn't for those turnovers. Baltimore wins that game. And we saw this last week against Jacksonville. They were dominant on defense against Jacksonville, but offensively, I felt like they should have scored 40 points.
Yeah,
and so they let Jacksonville hang around a little bit, and you wonder, you know, those lulls within the game can come back to bite them in the playoffs.
Cleveland, a team that's three games behind them in the standings. People are looking at the Browns and saying, well, it's a talented team that's winning the games they're supposed to, but they lose the games that are tough on their schedule. Are you buying that with the Browns? And give me an analysis of where they are, when the schedule, and when you're making a move towards the postseason, how does Cleveland stack up?
Cleveland actually has a good foundation. They're playing good defense. They played very good defense last week against Philly without their best player. And they're running the football. So anytime you could shrink the game with your run game and also be dominant on defense and get your offense back to football to continue to shrink the game, that's a winning formula. And as long as teams are not able to stop the run, they're going to get beat by the Browns. But the crazy part is that if you are able to stop the run and make Baker Mayfield beat you, you have a significantly higher chance of beating Cleveland. And I think that's the challenge for teams moving forward. Make Baker Mayfield beat you throwing the football, because they're hiding Baker Mayfield right now. And if they're not forced to let him loose, or if they can continue to hide him or can't continue to hide him, they'll struggle. And we've seen this throughout the season. So right now they have a good game plan going. It's working for them. it could work for them long term, but you drafted him number one overall to be a difference maker, and right now you're hiding him in that regard.
Yeah, that's wild to hide your number one overall pick from a couple of years ago. Miami is dealing with something in their quarterback where they're balancing a scale. Brian Flores wants a team that is going to be heading to the playoffs, but he needs to give Tua reps. Pulling him for performance, what did you make of that move? Is that the right move for the way Brian Flores is dealing with his quarterback situation?
You know, I just found it weird to pull Tua in that regard and to go to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and he did exactly what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. Gives you a little bit of hope, but ends up breaking your heart in the end. And we've seen this play out countless amounts of times in his career. So you don't gain nothing from that experience. So why pull the young guy? Let him work through that. Even if he was struggling, you know, let him work through that and that teaching tape for the next week so he can build on it. Because if you pull him like you did and to go to Ryan Fitzpatrick, what are you actually learning from Fitzpatrick in that situation? So I didn't understand it. I didn't have too much care for it. I thought he was injured, but coach came out and said that he wasn't injured. It was just, you know, they wanted to pull him because he was ineffective. And it was a head scratcher, but I feel like a team long term. But Tua has to play better in that regard because he struggled against the Rams. He struggled last week, and he played okay against the Arizona Cardinals. So, you know, he's been going through his ups and downs, and that's what you expect him making his start late in the season. But the defense has been really good, and that has carried his football team so far. But I probably wouldn't have pulled Tua for being ineffective. You want to give him the opportunity to go out and right some wrongs and win that game after he was struggling all throughout the course of that contest.
Good battle in the AFC South between Indianapolis and Tennessee, and they'll play each other this weekend. We know about Tennessee from last year's playoff, and we know how Derrick Henry can be utilized and effective in them winning some games. How do the Colts beat you?
The Colts do a great job up front. They have length along that defensive line. They have very active and aggressive linebackers, so they're able to slow down the run game offensively. We know about their offensive line, and we're starting to see them find the right mix of how to use their running game. Great game by Jonathan Taylor last week. Naheem Hines is a chess piece that can beat you in a multitude of ways on game day, and as long as Phillip Rivers doesn't turn the ball over, they have an opportunity to be successful because I like what they have at receiver. They have some guys that can run. They have bigger catch and run guys. They also have T.Y. Hilton, who's a dynamic talent too. And when they're healthy at tight end, they're very tough to defend. So they have everything that you want to play good football, and they can go toe to toe with Tennessee. But it's just up to Phillip Rivers to protect the football. And if he can do that, play within himself, and let the playmakers make plays, then they'll be a tough out moving forward.
Give me a grade on Phillip Rivers so far through 10 games with the Colts. Has he been the game changer we thought he would be, taking over that spot for Jacoby Brissett? Overall, of the evaluation of that acquisition for their offense?
I think he's been about average. So I would say C+.
Yeah.
You look at what Jacoby Brissett was doing when he was healthy last year before he got hurt in that Pittsburgh Steelers game. He was doing essentially the same thing that Phillip Rivers did. Could have saved you $25 million and went ahead and started Jacoby Brissett, and probably would have gotten better play out of Brissett because he's a young, ascending player and not a guy on a decline.
Green Bay Packers, there's a lot of talk about Mike Pettine and his defense. How much of a concern should that be for Packer fans?
It's a concern, but they're opportunistic, so they're going to make some plays that they shouldn't make. It's going to help them in some games that they should have lost. So, you know, you wonder. I mean, Packer fans complain about Pettine all the time.
Sure.
So you just want, you know, at some point, you know, the players out there on the field just got to execute. And if they're being opportunistic, if they're able to turn the ball over a couple times a game and give the offense back the ball and they're able to convert, then, you know, we're not talking about Mike Pettine and his defense. But because they tend to give up big plays in bad spots, that's why we're talking about this. And that's something that has to change because that's their Achilles heel as they try to make their way into and through the playoffs.
All right, let's have some fun with this final question for you. And we're talking to Emory Hunt again, footballgameplan.com. The NFC East, somebody's going to the playoffs, Emory, but if you were to evaluate them today, who's playing better? Like, who's got a better track to get that sole playoff spot from that weak division?
I'm sorry, I missed the question. From
the NFC East, which team is better suited today to win that division?
The Cowboys, because they have the easier track to do it. And you saw a much better play from Andy Dalton. And
yeah,
at the end of the day, the Giants have the better team in the division, the best team in the division as far as, like, playing together and, you know, seemingly in every game. But you really can't trust Daniel Jones. The Cowboys have the most talented roster, and if they're starting to get it together, then talent will win out. So I would probably go Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, then Washington. Washington was losing that ball game until Joe Burrow got hurt, and so that's when the tide turned. If Burrow plays that entire game, Washington doesn't beat Cincinnati, in my opinion. But if I'm looking at who's playing better, the Cowboys and Giants are playing better. Giants have the better team, which could go far, but you don't really trust their quarterback. But the Cowboys have the best talent and should be able to, and starting to get it together, and it should help them push through at least to get them into the playoffs by winning that division.
We love having you on, Emory. You can find him on Twitter, FBallGamePlan on Twitter. Emory Hunt, FootballGamePlan.com is the website. It's fantastic. Highly recommended. Emory, always good talking to you. We'll catch up soon, my friend.
Always. Appreciate you.
You got it. Emory Hunt on our Progressive guest line. Quote, buy, and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. All right, so you know that the next couple of days you're going to overindulge in some good food for Thanksgiving, and you might even overindulge the next day for leftovers. It's one of the better part of Thanksgiving. So you might have that upset stomach, and you need some Nauseen, because everyone's going to do this. You should, if you're going to. I mean, why not overindulge during the holiday season?
It's a fact of life.
It is a fact of life.
Listen, I already know I'm overindulging before the food even hits the table. Because
absolutely.
My wife went out and she decided, it was like, oh, you know, we need to have some snacks beforehand. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what we need before a gigantic Thanksgiving dinner.
That's exactly right.
But we all do it. We all put out cheese, crackers, salami, different types of meats, whatever, you know, chips and dip. We're all going to have all that stuff before we even get to the real meal.
Nauseen's four-minute formula quickly relieves stomach discomfort from overindulging and features a specially buffered formula to help calm and control the upset stomach discomfort. You're going to get no chalky medicinal aftertaste. That's a big deal. No bitter aftertaste. Non-drowsy. No aspirin. No caffeine or antihistamines. And the best part, it's available in the digestive section at most leading retailers. Oh, the second best part, it's a wild cherry flavor, so it's going to go down nice. I love wild cherry anything, so Nauseen makes it easier with that flavor. Quick dissolving chewable tablets, again, available in the digestive section at most leading retailers. Thanksgiving is coming, so don't forget the Nauseen. All right, coming up, I want to get to what Emory said about the Browns and lay it into a larger conversation about quarterbacks. I thought what he said about Baker Mayfield was right on point. We'll talk about that when we come back on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour, Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need a mortgage that fits your life? Rocket can. Hey, don't forget, the holidays is coming up, folks, and you're probably thinking to yourself, man, what do I get? Everyone's going to ask me what I want. I don't know what I want. Do I want a new tie? Do I want a robe? Do I want a lawnmower? Go to homefields.com. They know what you want. This is a beautiful three-dimension art piece of your favorite arenas or stadiums built by Ken Small. They're really great. They're lit, and they got a three-dimensional effect to them. You can put them on the mantelpiece, so you can put them in your office, you can put them in your man cave. And they've got 160 stadiums and arenas to choose from at homefields.com. You got to check them out to see. It's a really good website. It'll give you an idea. They're available in 9, 13, and 19 inches. And again, the way they were created, he used drones to take the shot of the stadium and then provide a way to layer the piece in the box so that there's a three-dimensional effect, and it's even better when they're lit up. I have Three Rivers Stadium in my studio. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Plus, the Steelers are 10-0, so there's like a good luck charm that goes along with it. I mean, Ron's got Dodger Stadium, and they won the World Series, for crying out loud.
I'm thinking Jake needs to display his a little bit more prominently.
I think a little bit more. Yeah,
he has MetLife Stadium, so I mean, you know. And if you guys don't know, Jake is a huge Jets fan.
We can't guarantee success. But we're just, you know, just between this show, two for two. So
maybe Jake doesn't want to put his out because he's hoping for the Jets to lose all season. As soon as he puts it out, you know they're going to win.
All right, go to home.
That's what home fields does. They just win.
homefields.com. Check them out. They've got the stadium, old stadiums too. Like I said, I have Three Rivers Stadium from my, you know, my youth, my memories of the Steelers in my early age. You can get the modern stadiums like Heinz Field or Mercedes-Benz Stadium or what. And they got arenas too. So check them out. Homefields.com. Emery Hunt said something really interesting about Baker Mayfield. The number one overall pick, they're hiding him. They're hiding his inability to throw the ball. Think about where this league is right now. He also said the same thing about Daniel Jones, who was a top 10 pick in the draft. How hard it is to come into this league and play the quarterback position. Dwayne Haskins doesn't have a job. You can't trust Baker Mayfield. Josh Rosen was a high pick. Now, where is he bouncing around in some practice squad somewhere? I don't even know if he's in the league. But it just goes to, look, Kyler Murray works out, right? We talked about Joe Burrow looking good before he got hurt. Josh Allen has worked out. Justin Herbert looks like he's here to stay.
Yeah, he is.
Right? Exactly. But Mitch Trubisky isn't, right?
That was another point that he made about Tua. It's like, you know, our Dolphins, why aren't you gonna just let Tua play?
If he's your guy, you're just going to have to let him play. You can't just keep pulling him out. He's a rookie. He's going to go mental. If every single decision that he makes on the field is wrong, you don't let him grow from that. You know, Parcells did this with Bledsoe years ago, made Bledsoe the number one overall pick, but started him his rookie year, and they weren't that good. It got better as the season went on. You felt like there was something growing, but you could point to a lot of mistakes that Bledsoe made where you're like, that kid is going to learn not to do that again. If you can't trust Baker Mayfield throwing, you don't have a quarterback in Cleveland. You cannot just run the ball and make that be your bread and butter. If you're playing the Browns and you can stop that run, Baker Mayfield's apparently not going to beat you. And that's too bad for a guy who was a number one overall pick not that long ago. That's how tough it is in this league. It's Wake Up Call. Jake Asman Show next.